So I believe I'll go ahead and get started. And if you want to follow along, I'm going to be in Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I'm going to read the whole psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, like this. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. As I was looking through this psalm, I was looking at some of the commentaries, and I particularly like Robert Halker, but I was looking at his comments on this passage, and he in this commentary gives three ways that it could be viewed, if you will, especially when we're talking about the first verse. The first being is this verse is posed as a question. He stated it that in the margin of his old Bible that it stated this as a question. I can't verify this or confirm that it's actually true or not. It's not in mine, but maybe someone has. I didn't spend time on it. But if it is stated as a question, like it was stated as a question like this, shall I lift up mine eyes to the hills? Whence should my help come? This, of course, being posed as a question, indicating that the hills can in no way help me. This is certainly true that a mountain or hill cannot help us in this way that we need help. This is supported by Scripture. Jeremiah 3:23 says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel.
Amen.
I personally don't believe that this is what this is talking about, and not at least not in this way in this Scripture. Although that is true, I believe it is a looking unto the hills, but this is a psalm, and it is poetic language, if you will. The psalms, when you look at them, are like this. They use poetic language to describe things. So there are two other views in which we can see in this psalm, and in all of Scripture, really. And that is, we look at them being Christ our substitute, that one coming down as a man, and taking the place of his people, then that of a believer in Christ. And our view cannot be looked at without first seeing the view from the Son first.
Yes.
Because without him, we have nowhere to look, whether it be mountain or valley. So in looking at these two ways, I have two points to look at today. The looking of Christ and the looking of the brethren. It's not hard for us to see Jesus Christ in this passage because we're told in Scripture, Hebrews 10:7, and it also says it in the Psalms, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. The hills he were seeking were those hills of the will of the Father, him which is in the heavens high above the hills. John 5:30 says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me.
Amen.
He told Mary and Joseph when they left him in Jerusalem in Luke 2:48 and 49, he says, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?
Yeah.
So it was that which was the will of the Father, which he was sent to do, that he was looking to. It's hard for me to grasp the fact that Jesus Christ was made flesh. He came down to this earth made of a woman, made under the law. He has, currently, right now, he has flesh and bones and blood running through his veins, just like you and I. It was his very purpose to come to this earth and to perform that which was needed to save a people for his name. For this, he had to be a man. He had to obey the law every jot and tittle, and he did. He truly did love his neighbor as himself, and he loved God with all his heart, mind, and strength. Amen. He had to suffer. This he did without opening his mouth. Looking unto that which he was sent to do, he could not complain about it, for it was the very purpose why he came. He had to die. That sacrifice needed to pay for all my sins, for all your sins.
Yes, sir.
For all the sins of his chosen people. This he did while looking to the hills to the one whom he knew would be his help, which is from the Lord. He always did that which pleased the Father, and the Father was well pleased in him. He was always looking to do the will of the Father. These things he did, being faithful to what he was sent to do. Him being faith personified, he is what faith looks like. He is always faithful, the scripture says. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the author of faith. That is, faith begins with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he perfected faith. That's what the word finisher means. So what he has done will show us what faith is. In verse 3, we read the protection of the Father to the Son. Jesus Christ is God. Yet we know in Scripture that it says, Psalms 91:10-12, we read, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Nothing was going to befall our Savior Jesus Christ that was not purposed by the Father himself. Jesus is a man. We have to remember. That is, God is a man. But being a man, there was a specific thing he came to do, and he always was set like a flint to do the will of the Father. The Father would protect the Son, so much so we read in Scripture in John 19, and I'm going to turn there. You don't have to turn with me, but John 19. John 19, verses 33 through 36, if you're going to follow along. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw it, and he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken.
Amen.
He was a man. And as a man, his bones could break if it were his will.
It's true.
But it was not his will for this to happen, so the Father kept him from this happening to him because he is in absolute sovereign control of all things. The Father was always fully satisfied with the Son, so nothing was going to happen to Jesus Christ that was not purposed to happen to him. He always looked to the Father. We read in verse 4, the Lord God from heaven never slumbers or sleeps.
Amen.
We know Jesus Christ is God, but think about this. In Mark 4:38, we read, and this is when there was a storm going on in the ship. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow.
Yeah.
and they awake him. And they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The two words there in our psalm mean drowsy and slack, the words for slumber and sleep. Did the God of heaven on this ship have a weak moment? No, he was in absolute control and had perfect faith, because he is faith itself. He had no reason to fear, because he is in absolute sovereign control all of the time, even when he is asleep on a pillow.
Amen.
How can we explain this? We cannot. We just know that what God says in his word is true, and we believe it. There is never a time when he is drowsy so that he knows not what's going on around him. And he is not slack or taking too much time to do this or to do that. Everything is always in its intended place, and all things are happening just as he has purposed them to be.
Amen.
Even when he sleeps on a pillow. We then read verses 5 through 7 of our psalm, where we can see it talk specifically about nothing is going to be allowed to happen to him. He will be preserved from all evil and his soul preserved. Yet we read in the scripture that the wrath of God was poured out on him.
Yes, sir.
That is, God the Father poured out his wrath on his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
What do we begin to see from all of this? God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. Just as the psalmist has said, they are too high for me. I cannot attain unto them.
Yes.
What else does Scripture say in 1 Corinthians 1:25? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Yes.
God is not foolish, nor is God weak. That's not what this is saying. This is just saying that his thoughts and his ways are high above man's thoughts and ways.
Yes.
Think about this. When Christ was on this earth doing the will of the Father, there was no complaint from Jesus Christ at any time.
Mm-hmm.
This, our God and our help, is not going to miss anything. And everything that happens, happens because it is his thought. Because what God thinks, God does.
Amen.
He did all this on purpose. It was not a mistake or something that happened because man just got too bad at that time that caused God to do something he was not planning on. This was done because it was ordained of God from the very beginning.
Amen.
Acts 4:27 and 28 we read, "For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done."
Amen.
The hills are all those wondrous works of God. The hills are all the characteristics of God. They are all manifested in that work done by Jesus Christ in love to his people on that tree on Mount Calvary. It is where he is, which is high above man, so that we are to see him. If we are to see him, we are going to have to look up to him. So this being the one from where our help comes, if he looks to the hills, then that must be where we look to. So now let's look at the looking of the brethren. The child of God looking to the hills, those hills of God's wondrous works, which he has done for his people, the doer of them being the Lord of glory. We read in the Old Testament where they look to that day when the Messiah would come. That day that we now know was the work to be done on that Mount Calvary, where he would come and be made sin for them. They looking forward to that day and us looking back to that day. This involving all wondrous works that he has done for us. We see plenty of times in Scripture where it talks about God doing things, and many times it is in the hills or mountains. 2 Chronicles 3:1 says, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." We read in the New Testament about a mount, which is called Calvary. Luke 23:33. And when they were come to that place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. This was that when it is spoken of in Scripture, it says he must be high and lifted up, just as the serpent in the wilderness was. He was to be as well. John 3:14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up.
Yes.
This is a glorious thing to think about. One in which I do believe we can see in this passage as signifying where it is the child of God is looking unto. Those hills of the Lord, of those many wondrous works of Christ.
Yes.
It is those hills of God where we find Jesus Christ. Psalm 2:6 says this, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion.
Yes.
This is those hills that we look into. We are not looking to flora and fauna or earth for salvation. We are looking to a person. But salvation for us starts off with a look. Hebrews 12:1-2 again, it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience that race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This look, caused by God, because we know that there is none that seeketh after God. What does it say about that serpent which was lifted up? Numbers 21:8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass, that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.
Yeah.
This says every one that is bitten. What if you are not bitten? Then you won't live. If you are not bitten, you will have no reason to look and live. If you are bitten, then you must still look. God's people are bitten with the judgment of God's holy law, knowing that for them to have to keep his holy law on their own is certainly death unto them. His law shuts their mouth and they begin to see they have no standing before a thrice holy God. But not only is it death to them, it begins to show them just how dead they are.
Yeah.
But when we see his glory, he causes us to look unto that only place where we can find safety from the judgment of God. Because we, as we are born in nature, certainly deserve the wrath and judgment of God.
Yes, sir.
So it forces us to look to that place of safety and help, which is in Jesus Christ the Lord. But we do look. Where we look is to Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We are continually forced to look to him. We don't have to debate this. That is what it's talking about in the verse 1 when it says the hills, because Scripture tells us who is this talking about. Because in verse 2 we see that. It says, my help cometh from the Lord. So if I look to the hills from whence my help cometh, what does this say to me reading this? I will look to Jesus Christ who has done all the works. And he is the only one that can continue to do the works for me and to me. And I can count on it. He is faithful to what he has said he will do. The one we look to is the creator of heaven and earth. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father on high. No matter how we view this verse 1, the second verse makes it clear. Our help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
As we read through this psalm, knowing this is speaking of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to always look to the Father and the faithfulness of the Father to always protect the Son, we know this is also true for the believer because it is told us in Scripture that he is the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29, we read, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, that is the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Amen.
It is he, even though he was made sin, he always loved and trusted the Father, him giving us this very faith that he himself is, and we by his faith look to him for all our help. Because it is he that loved us to the extent that the Son died for us. This he does for us if we are in Christ. He does this for us always. Verse 8 says, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore."
Amen.
He has us hedged in whether we are coming or going, or whether we are sitting down, whether we are laying down, if we are sleeping, whether we are doing or not doing, he will preserve us. All things work together for good to them that love God, them who are the called according to his purpose. We are given to the Son, and there will be in no way that someone or something will take us from him. God will not let this happen. As we go through this life, no matter what it is, God will preserve us if we are in Christ, because we are a part of him and the Son is to have all the glory. The one psalm goes so far to show us how God will take care of us. Psalm 139:8 says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." This also, speaking of Christ, shows us that the Father will never leave the Son. We in him, he will never leave nor forsake us. I listened to Joe's message this morning. I kind of had to add this in. But we read in John 15, if you heard Joe's message this morning, in John 15, we heard this: "For without me," that is Christ, "you can do nothing." We cannot preach God too high, and we cannot preach man too low. He is the Savior of true Israel because he is the root of Israel.
Amen.
We are a part of God. John 17:21 says, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." If we are in Christ and the Father being well pleased with Christ, then God is well pleased with us.
Yes.
Not for anything that we have done, but all for what he has done. He will protect and keep us. It might not be how we always want it to be, but his people come to love his choice and his ways. If Christ looked to the hills, if Christ is looking to the hills, that is, he is about doing the Father's business and doing all that is needed to keep us safe, these are those wondrous works of God's hills. If he so looked to these things to accomplish them, should we not look to him who has accomplished them?
That's it.
It certainly is where we should look. It is the only place we will find help. If we are one of his by faith, that is the faith of Jesus Christ, which never fails, we will look to him as our help. This is how high Christ is. And if he is this high and we are in him, then we are in him. Hebrews 7:24 and 25, it says, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them."
Amen.
Because he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And I just ask you this last question: where do you look for your help? It's always Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Dear old God, thank you for allowing us to meet here today. May we always look to you, dear Lord. May you cause us to look to you, because if you don't cause us to look to you, we'll look to ourselves, dear Lord. Be with Walter as he's out, and be with any of those who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be with us as we go about our ways, Keep us safe as we travel, dear Lord. Thank you for all things. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.